समय का एक तारा जब बोले जल थल नभ में मधुर रस घोले, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। समय का एक तारा जब बोले जल थल नभ में मधुर रस घोले, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। जग के दुख संताप रे मनवा जब तुझको फरमाए, मोह माया के झूठे बंधन जब तुझको भरमाए, जग के दुख संताप रे मनवा जब तुझको फरमाए, मोह माया के झूठे बंधन जब तुझको भरमाए, जपना मुख से हौले हौले ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। जप तप में ही सच्चा सुख है, क्या लेना छल बल से, जप तप में ही सच्चा सुख है, क्या लेना छल बल से, पतित पावन नाम है उसका, उसके नाम के बल से, पतित पावन नाम है उसका, उसके नाम के बल से, जीवन के चदरिया डोले, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। कर्म ही पहला ज्ञान योग है, कर्म ही करे जीवन में, कर्म ही पहला ज्ञान योग है, कर्म ही करे जीवन में, कर ले कर्म की उत्तम खेती दुनिया के उपवन में, ले कर्म के उत्तम खेती, दुनिया के उपवन में दया धर्म का बीज तो बोले ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। समय का एक तारा जब बोले जल थल नभ में मधुर रस घोले, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, शिवोहम शिवोहम सच्चिदानंदोहम, 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 शिवोहम शिवोहम सच्चिदानंदोहम। हरि ओम।
Hari Om and Pranam to Pooja Swamiji. On behalf of Chinmaya Mission Chicago, we are extremely thankful to Pooja Swamiji for accepting our invitation. Pooja Swamiji needs little introduction since we have been blessed to have him amongst us several times, most recently for our annual fundraising event in December. Pooja Swamiji, after having completed his Vedanta course in Sandipani Sadhanalaya in Mumbai, in 1995, he came to Southern California, and he has been there since then as the resident acharya of the several centers in the California area. He also actually served as the acharya of the 12th Vedanta course for brahmacharis in Sandipani Sadhanalaya in 2002 to 2004. Swamiji is well known for his ability to reduce the difficult to understand subjects of in Vedanta to with clarity and simplicity. And he has really endeared us with his humor which is sprinkled within his talks. So we now, without further ado, request Pujya Swamiji to start this discourse, going to last from today through Saturday, every day from 7:30 to 8:30, the topic of Vedanta Madhuryam. There will be slides that Pujya Swamiji will be sharing with us on the screen. We will have access to them, so we will be emailing those to you. So without further ado, I now request Pujya Swamiji to please bless us by starting with the discourse.
Hari Om, all of you. Thank you so much for having me for this week. I'll start with the Shanti Mantra. Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Samasta jana kalyani niratam karunamayam namami chinmayam devam sadgurum brahma vidvaram. First of all, thanks to the organizers for thinking about this virtual yajna. I like it virtual because I don't need to bear the cold and the travel as well. But I do miss people, seeing people, interacting with them. That, of course, cannot be replaced. And here we are going to see a beautiful text composed by our own Pujya Swamiji. Pujya Guruji, Swami Tejamayanji himself. We have been studying various texts over many years. Some of you have even completed the entire Bhagavad Gita, many Upanishads and Prakarna Granthas, Ramayana, Bhagavatam, and whatnot. And we always find when we read Ramayana or when we hear the discourses on Bhagavatam, we find ourselves very light. But when it comes to Vedanta, people say, Swamiji, it's a heavy stuff. It's going above my head, overhead projection. It's not getting in at all. So, in general, people think that Vedanta is difficult. You know, it is in this text, our Guruji is going to explain to us, clarify to us, rather, that it is not at all difficult. The difficulty is in the lack of interest. You know, if you have a person in your life whom you are very difficult, finding difficult to handle that person, only thing is that you don't love that person. If you love that person, there is no difficulty at all. If you are attempting to understand a person whom you love, there cannot be any difficulty. But the human relationship is very complex. You may like that person, but that person may not like you. Then he or she would not reveal what he has in the mind. Then it is hard. That's why many Balveer teachers say, Swamiji, it's very easy to teach the small kids, you know, because they are so innocent. Anything we say, they'll just listen. But as they grow up to become teenagers, so hard. We don't even know whether they are listening at all. That happens with your own children also. Because they won't say anything. When you ask them, they only shrug the shoulders. How was your day? Okay. Do you want to have breakfast? I don't know. If you don't know, who will know then? So sometimes the answers are also so blank. No, I mean, you cannot conclude anything out of that. Clueless. So that is about human relationship. Definitely, we find difficulty in handling some people. But any subject will become easy to us if we love. If we love the subject, it cannot be easy. It cannot be difficult. Now, love comes along with some amount of spending time. When you say, I love something or somebody, and no, never spend time with that person or thing, then obviously there is a distance, mental distance. You may be next to the person, but if that person is not somebody whom you cherish as part of your life, then the distance in the mind will continue. So it happens with Bhagavan also. Why we don't get bhakti, Swamiji? It's because you don't think Bhagavan is part of your life, everyday life, more than anybody else, more than any other living being in this world, more than anything in this world. Bhagavan himself says, I am there in your heart. Where else you can? How closer can I be then? Can I? I'm there in your own heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtah. So then how can you not love? So the Vedanta is trying to bring us close to ourselves. And in this text, Guruji will put the logic why it is so sweet. Vedanta is so sweet. You know, we chant also in Shanti Mantra. Madhu Manishye, Madhu Vadishye, Madhu Vakshyami, Madhu Vadishyami, Madhu Madhim. Madhu. What is that Madhu? Honey. Most sweet, natural sweet. You know, Madhu, the honey, is natural sweet. No sweetener is added. No sugar is added. So naturally sweet. And a bee, a honeybee, is gathering it from many different flowers and collecting it and putting it in the honeycomb. And you, we, the human beings, very intelligent. Let them do the job. And we'll go and pick it up. We don't allow them to eat and we'll just pick it up. So the gathered information, knowledge from various sources are put together, the wisdom of the great masters are put together is Vedanta. वेदांतो नाम उपनिषद प्रमाणम, जो उपनिषद में है वही वेदांत है. एंड उपनिषद इज नॉट एनीबडीज प्रॉपर्टी, नॉलेज इज नोबडीज प्रॉपर्टी. नॉलेज शुड बी ऑलवेज फ्री. इफ एनीबडी सेल्स नॉलेज देन दैट पर्सन इंसल्ट्स द नॉलेज. व्हाट भगवान ने दिया, जो भगवान ने दिया आप बेचते हो उसको. कैन यू डेयर, डू यू डेयर सेलिंग फॉर मनी व्हाट भगवान हैज गिवन यू टू यू फ्रीली. बट वेदांता इज दैट मेनी पीपल मेक मनी आउट ऑफ दैट. इट्स यू नो दैट इज द ट्रेजेडी ऑफ टूडेज वर्ल्ड. नॉलेज इज ऑल्सो सोल्ड. Such people, really speaking, don't have value for knowledge. Because if I'm selling something, that something which I sell, I don't have value. You see? I give it to you for money. Then I have money. I have value for money. Then what I sell? It's simple. So if you're selling knowledge, obviously, you don't have value for knowledge. This jnanam, which is found in the Upanishads, in the Jnana Kanda of the Vedas, which is otherwise known as Uttaramimamsa. The essence of that is also found in Gita. So when you say Vedanta, which includes not only Upanishad, but also the Gita, as well as, of course, Brahma Sutra is also included there. And great masters who have become so familiar and established in the knowledge, familiar in the way to teach, they have also given their own easy ways of understanding, their own methods of knowing it, to make it easy for all of us. They have written Prakarana Granthas like Shankaracharya. That is also should be understood as Vedanta only. Because anything that helps us to reach our own abode, our own self, which is most dear to us, that is to be understood as Vedanta. Vedanam antaha. What is the end of knowledge? Experience. Knowledge, when does it become experience? When it is owned by us, when we have no more doubt about it. Experience does not create doubts. Only knowledge can create doubts. So when the knowledge becomes an experience, then there is no apprehensions, ambiguities, uncertainties, doubts are no more. For which we should love Vedanta. So Guruji, out of his great kindness and compassion, he in this text, which is I think around 20 or 22 verses, 26 verses, he's going to give us the beauty of Vedanta, the sweetness of Vedanta. And before he starts, he invokes the blessings of both Guru and Sri Rama. So we will see the first verse here. This is to be considered as the Shanti Mantra. Vedanta, you can repeat after me. Vedanta Vedyam Sri Ramam. नत्वा श्रीचिन्मयं गुरुं वक्ष्ये वेदांतमाधुर्यं लोकानंदकरं भवेत् Vedanta Vidyam Sri Ramam Natva Sri Chinmayam Gurum Vakshe Vedanta Madhuryam Lokanandakaram Bhavet. Sri Ramam Sri Chinmayam Gurum Natva Namanam Krutva Namaskaram Krutva. Natva means having saluted. Nam, nam means to salute. Sometimes you become numb. That is not while listening, Swamiji, I became numb. You know, no, that's numb we are not talking about. Nam in namaskar ka dadu hai. Namas, nam. Natva, having saluted. What? Whom? Sri Ramam. Here, Guruji first says, I salute Sri Rama. Why? Vedanta Vedyam. Vedanta Vedyam. Vedyam means Vedantena Vedyam. So, Vedanta Jnanena Yam Vedyam. He who has to be known. Jnatavyam. Vedyam means to be known. Through what? Through Vedanta. So Sri Rama, yeah, even though he has taken the human form, Bhagavan Narayana, but he had as though lived as a human being, experiencing, expressing human emotions, in the deep within, he fully knows. Vedavidye pare pumsi jate dasharadatmane veda prachetasadasit sakshat ramayanatmana. Vedavidye pare pumsi jate dasharadatmane. That which is to be known through the Vedas as born in the form of Sri Rama dasharadatmane. Veda Vedye Pare Pumsi Jate Dasharadatmani Veda Pracheta Sadasid Sakshat Ramayanatmana. Veda has taken the form of Ramayana. So if you understand that, Bhagavan is none other than that should be known through Vedas. Vedesha Sarvaihi Ahameva Vedyaha Vedantakrit Veda Videva Chaham. Bhagavan Krishna has said in 15th chapter. So who is Sri Rama? Vedanta Vidyam. One who is to be realized through Vedanta. And to us, for all of us, I would say, one who brought that knowledge to us is our own Gurudev. So if he was not there, we would not be having any even a smell of Vedanta. So obviously we have to salute But Gurudev also for he the instrument for us to gain this knowledge, devotion to Bhagavan. So Vedanta Vidyam Sri Ramam Natva Sri Chinmayam Guru. Sri Gurudev, who is none other than the very embodiment of consciousness. Having saluted both Sri Rama and Guru, see, in all the compositions of great masters, you will always find Guru as well as the Bhagavan, both are worshipped first. Mangala Acharan is called. Why Mangala Acharan? Because anything auspicious you do, you not only can do out of your own skills and abilities, but you always need the grace and blessings of Guru as well as the Lord. The grace of the teacher and the Lord. Because whatever we undertake, you know, it is interesting. Shubhakaryeshu bagu vigna bhavanti. Anything you do good only, there are many obstacles. Always. Anything wrong you do, nobody even notices. Then of course, nobody should notice it, obviously. But anything good you try to do, oh, there are so many objections. Either objection or people will be totally indifferent. You do it. They don't participate that easily. Even satsang and all, when we have, how many people will attend? And there is a rock party. And Super Bowl. Oh my God, the whole country is shut down. Why it is so? Entertainment. So once Guruji was conducting a yajna or something, satsang, somebody asked this question to him. How is that, Swamiji, for such kind of Super Bowl, this and that, or some Hollywood actor, Bollywood actor, so many people come, hundreds and thousands, but when it comes to satsang, only few people come. How is that? Why is that? And Guruji, in his inimitable style, I even wonder why you people are here. There is no entertainment here. Why are you? That itself is a great wonder for me. Not the wonder why people are going. Why are you here? That is a great wonder. So anything good that you do, always there will be obstacles. So when you are embarking to explain the beauty and depth of knowledge of Vedanta, you definitely require the grace and blessings of the Lord. So, Vakshye, I shall explain Vedanta Madhuryam, Vedantasya Madhuryam, the beauty and sweetness of Vedanta. Now, you see, anything sweet, why we always, interesting, any program you conduct, they will be always sweet, especially after satsang, people need sweet. You know why? Because bitter things are discussed. Knowledge is always bitter only. So at the end of it, okay, you have had enough of bitter things, now they'll sweet also. But when you eat sweet, usually what happens, you feel so full. At the end of the food, when you eat the sweet, then you feel complete. In the beginning of the food, if you eat sweet, then you can't eat. And many times when I go to somebody's house, first they put things, they'll give me sweet. I said, don't do this. Then I will not enjoy your bhiksha. At the end, if you give, it's okay. So Vedanta is going to bring that sweetness, after which you have nothing more to gain. In Upanishad also it is said, Yajñātvā sarvamidam vijñātam bhavati. Having known which, everything is known. Meaning what? Nothing more I need to know. So this sweetness of Vedanta is what I am going to explain. And as it is said, that which delights everyone, loka anandakaram bhavet. May this explanation of the sweetness of Vedanta, may it bring great joy to all people. Anandakaram. Let it bring great joy to everyone. So the invocation explains, not only it also explains the subject matter. What is subject matter? Vedanta, Madhuryam. What is the prayojanam of this? What is the prayojanam? Lokanandakaram bhavet. Prayojanam. That is the fulfillment of this learning. All right. Who is person qualified to listen to this? One who salutes Rama and Rajri, Gurudev. Natva. So it includes the students also should have the same attitude of salutations to the Guru, salutation to the team Lord. Then only such a person will also become eligible for listening to this knowledge. Now, continuing here. Why it is that I need to explain this beauty and sweetness of Vedanta? because the misconception is Vedanta is tough, Vedanta is difficult, it's hard to know, all that misunderstanding. So that is said here in the next verse, verse number 2. Sushkam Vedanta Jnanam Hi. Kechit Badanti Prayashah. Anyetat Katinam Sukshmam. Manyante Swavicharatah. Shushkam Vedanta Jnanam Hi Kechit Vadanti Prayashah Anye Tat Katinam Sukshmam Manyante Swavicharatah. Vedanta Jnanam Shushkam. Shushkam means what? Dry. It is very dry. You know, it does not actually evoke any emotions. When we listen to the stories from Bhagavatam or when Rama's story, every time you listen, you know, it evokes so much of emotions, love for the Lord. You know, that's what we want. Vedantam kya? No emotion at all. So dry. Sometimes it is giving headache also. So it is shushkam, dry. You know, Guruji used to say, seasonally you can get mangoes, apple, bananas, right? When you get in the season only, it is really tasty. Mangoes, if you eat on dry winter, you know, December, January, you know, it's not, it doesn't taste that much. But when it is ripe, right from the tree, when you pick it up and eat, that taste is incredible. You keep it in the store and travel some 20 days into another country and then keep it in the freezer and then cut the nose. Not even ants will go anywhere near that. So any fruit that you would like to eat, you would like to eat fresh. You cannot eat it later. But you see, dry fruit you can eat anytime. It's always sweet. So you would say, sadhus and swamis who are following the path of Vedanta like a dry fruit, they are always sweet. Anytime you can reach them, they are always sweet. They are dry fruits. The fruit, all right, but they're dry according to you, but they are always sweet. So Vedanta, but what do people say? Oh, Swamiji, we don't see any kind of heart feeling from the heart for Vedanta. Kechit Vadandi. Some people say that. Prayasaha, in general. Anye, some others would say, Tat Katinam Sukshmam Manyante. It's hard, Swamiji. It makes us to think too much. I have lived so many years of my life without thinking. Now, how do you expect me to think? Because vichar karo, vichar karo. Constantly they say vichar karo. So I don't have a habit of thinking. Forget about vichar. Some people are called eternal listeners, you know. They keep on listening. Nothing happens. So such people will find, I am ready to listen, Swamiji, but don't ask me to think. Independently, I cannot think. If somebody tells me something, I understand. But don't ask me to think. So Vedanta is katinam, hard. And it is too subtle. Because they say, you are not your thoughts, you are not your body, you are not. So how do I understand I'm not the thought? I never thought about it. Because without thought, I go to sleep. I try many times not to have thoughts, but then I only land in just lying down, snoring away. And to become actionless. Hare Baba, I do every day night. Why do I need to learn Vedanta for that? So this way, you know, it is suit. And he said, don't sleep, but do not have the mind, do not have a thinking. And instead of that, if you ask me to do some bhajan, some japa, singing the glory of the Lord, so easy. Anybody can do it. You don't need to learn even Sanskrit also. Why do we need to learn Vedanta? Or they go to the easy yoga now, stand upside down, or breathe. Okay. Kriya, chakra, all that. So people always look for the shortest route. So this is katinam because you are asking me to think. You know, on the other day I was going to somebody's house. These young boys came to pick me up. So I got into the car and they put out the, you know, self-driving, meaning in GPS in the car. I told this boy, you know, for going home also you need to put GPS. Don't you know the way? You know, Swamiji, you see, we are going to have only a short time with you. So when I put this GPS, the car will tell me left and right. Why should I think about it? No. I don't need to think whether I should take this road or that road, because it's going to tell me. So I don't need to use my mind for thinking about that. So I can talk to you. This is the explanation they give me. So I said, this modern technology is only making you dull, making you stupid and dependent. Because even simple things, if you want the help of the computer or something, well, when are you going to think? Swamiji, since we do not have to spend time in thinking about this, we can think about something much more useful. No, then I ask, are you doing that? The purpose of the technology is to give you more time to think of productive things. But do you do that? And we don't do that either. I understand if you are, you know, spending your energy in thinking something creative, something useful, but that is also not there. In the process, our ability to think is being reduced only. So Vedanta is not asking you to go out of the way to do things. But basic thinking. And that is hard for people. Therefore, what do they say? Katinam. Sukshmam. So, anye tat katinam sukshmam manyante. So, vicharatah, according to their own conclusions. Svavicharata. So that is why Vedanta becomes not welcome. And it is said that if you understand, it is called Siddhanta. If you don't understand, that's called Vedanta. Malum nahi padta, but that is Vedanta, correct. So it is generally the opinion, it is dry, it is hard, it is very subtle. And then what? Further, continuing in the next verse. Nishpalam jivanes means cha. Jnanam va paralaukikam. Sanyasinam krute chasti vardakyeva patennarah నిష్ఫలం జీవనేస్మిన్శ్చ జ్ఞానం వా పారలౌకికం సన్యాసినాం కృతే చాస్తి వార్ధక్యే వా పటేన్నరః. అస్మిన్ జీవనే నిష్ఫలం వేదాంతం. వేదాంత జ్ఞానం దిస్ ఈస్ అస్మిన్ జీవనే, ఇన్ దిస్ వెరీ లైఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యూస్లెస్. అండ్ వై ఇట్ ఈస్ సో, ఇట్ ఈస్ పారలౌకికం జ్ఞానం. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ నాలెడ్జ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆర్ హౌ టు లివ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. నో, ఇట్ ఈస్ అబౌట్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్ బియాండ్ డెత్. లెట్ మీ దే ఫాద్ మీ దేకింగ్ యూ నో వై ఆర్ ఐ వరీడ్ అబౌట్ నౌ. First of all, I should know whether there is something beyond death also. That itself, I am not sure about that. Why should I then waste time, precious time now, thinking about something which may not be there? See, that is why Kathopanishad, the student asks that question also. Some people say it is there. Some people say it is not there. That is the first, the question he asked. Asti iti cha eke, nayam asti iti cha eke. ఏదత్ విద్యాం అనుశిష్టస్త్వయాహం వరాణామేషః వరస్తృతీయః. ద థర్డ్ బూన్ ఐఎమ్ ఆస్కింగ్ యూ, నచికేత సేస్, సమ్ పీపుల్ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్, సమ్ పీపుల్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ దేర్. అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ యూస్ఫుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ టుడే, ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈస్ ఇట్ యూస్ఫుల్ టు మీ, దట్ యూ టెల్ మీ. వేదాంత ఈజ్ ఇట్ యూస్ఫుల్, ప్రాక్టికల్ వేదాంత. You know, some of the books in Chinmaya Mission also, no? You've seen Practical Vedanta, Vedanta for today. There was one book which I always liked, you know, in CCM2. Now, I don't know whether now the publication is there or not. How to Start a Bal Vihar and Run. You've seen that? How to Start Bal Vihar? And run. No, why you call it out to run a Balvia? That's what it means. But so Vedanta in practice, there is another book also. But people do not think that Vedanta is practical, because it is not about asmin loke, asmin jivane nishphalam. To live in today's life, Swamiji, people see the people around, how much they are working hard to make to do ends meet and make their life better, etc. How can Vedanta help in that? Tell me. Nishphalam jivanesminscha jnanam va paralokikam. It's about other. One old lady was seen reading seriously some book. So these grandson went to her and said, we have exams and we study very hard. What exam you got? Why are you studying? Seriously. You're already 90 years old. What is there to study? She said, I'm studying for the final exam. What is that book? She showed Bible. Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. That is not B-A-B-L-E. So many people think this is not for this life. It is about, if at all, about life, if at all, there after the death. And those people who are thus ready to let go and ready for life, ready for death, they are called sannyasins. You know? Sannyasinam krite. For the sake of them only. In our tradition also, there are four stages. Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Ashram, and then Vanaprastha. Nowadays, Vanaprastha is also not there. So, Grahastha, or Brahmachari Grahastha. So, Vanaprastha means what? Vane Prasthanam. Forest life. Some people say, that's not forest life, Swamiji. Then, for rest. For But that also people don't do. Even then they will work. All right. So, and the last stage, when you have good for nothing, sannyas. So even when I joined Sandipani, many of my uncles who lived in Bombay, when I went to Sandipani, Bombay to study, first day, as soon as I, you know, entered the Sandipani and put my luggage there to get into my room, so that they came one by one. What happened? Is it what happened? Phew. What are you asking? What went wrong? Say, nothing went wrong. Then why are you doing this? Who is the girl? Why are you thinking that? Only useless, unproductive. Many people think that those who are good for nothing only will take. One lady came to me seriously and said, my second son is so useless, can you make him a sannyasi? I felt very insulted by that question. So, sannyasi naam krute, not for the life here. Those who have given up all interest, they cannot do anything, they are unsuccessful. And they want some way of living. Udharanamittam bahukrutaveshaha. Bhagavan Shankaracharya also says, people take to this life, some of them, even his time, in his times also. Jatilo munti lunjit kesaha kashayambara bahukrutaveshaha. Udharanamittam. It's for the filling the belly. Sanyasinam krute asti. Or you have to read this only when you're absolutely old. Vardhakye vapatet. Vriddhavasthayam. When you can't even lift the book, then only you start Vedanta. An interesting thing is, you know, when Gurudev used to give lectures in Maidan, you know, huge in Bombay, you know, there were people who were of different age groups. There will be retired people will be there, householders will be there, you know. But to my utter strange, you know, first time when I met Gurudev, when I started to attend his lectures, first few rows are covered by youngsters. I have never seen any youngsters of, you know, age between 18 and 30. They are there seriously sitting and listening. You know, it is interesting. I think what happened was, in way back when I first time when I went to Sandipani in 1983. Because my uncle was involved in Chinmaya Mission there in Bombay. And he said, well, I'll take you there and you meet Swamiji. I had no idea about who Gurudev, Simayananda, nothing. So I went to, it was a long drive from Dombivli all the way to Powai. You know, because we take a train and the bus and this and that. Those times it was outskirts. Nowadays it's right in the center now. So I reached there and we were waiting for Gurudev. He was coming from somewhere, so people were all waiting. And many of the students were studying at that time with the white cloth, you know, brahmacharis, they were all standing there in the near. So I looked at all of them and said to my uncle, who are these people? Why are they wearing white clothes? So they are the students who are studying Vedanta. In my mind, pitiable people. They are absolutely, they have no success in their life. That's why they are. Much less do I know. Within 5 or 6 years later, I am in the same predicament. They are sitting there, standing there. Bhagavan's Leela is so. So I was just pitying, you know, what life they have, shaved head and then sitting there. And we waited. Sometime Gurudev got delayed, so we came back. So then I later on realized what was my thinking at that time. What was my thinking? In 91, when I reached the same place to do the same thing, I recalled, this is the same place where I came is 8 years back. And what was my thinking at that time? And now what am I thinking? See, most people who have this misunderstanding, Vardhakya, for the old people only, just before dying only you need to learn. And even now there is a tradition, you know, when people are in the deathbed, chant Bhagavad Gita. Hare Baba, whole life he did not pick up that book. Now you are, he's already dying, and then you say, Om Sri Bhagavan Vacha. What does he understand? They'll say, no, Swamiji, my father is very ill. What chapter should I read? Kiske liye? Unke liye or aapke liye? It is basically for the people who are there, who are not yet dead. Knowledge is for, not for the dead. Not knowledge is for the living and who has inspiration to live. That's why Gurudev wrote his comment, the art of man making, right? How to live in this world? How to not live? Okay, live is also there, but how to engage in this world with so much of enthusiasm, with so much of inspiration? So people have this misunderstanding that it is for the old, who are good for nothing, ready to die. For those people only this knowledge. In this way, there are many, many opinions. So the next verse, he says, evam bahuvida santi. Vedanta visaye mataha. Nischayotascha kartavyaha. Pramanena vivekataha. Evam bahuvidha santi vedanta visaye mataha. Nischayotascha kartavyaha. Pramanena vivekataha. Evam, in this way, bahuvidaha vedanta visaye mataha santi. Opinions, mataha, opinions, viewpoints are there, santi, about what? Vedanta visaye. In the subject of Vedanta, there are so many such opinions are there. Ataha, pramanena vivekataha nischayaha kartavyaha. Therefore, one should, with the correct means of knowledge, determine what is Vedanta. Pramana is a very important word. And that requires me to understand how Vedanta is a pramana. See, knowledge happens through a means of knowledge. The means of knowledge definitely defines the nature of knowledge. If I am seeing a flower with my eyes, I can understand the color, the shape, the form, and not the smell, the taste, etc., through the eyes. Though the flower has that. Right? Flower also has got smell. It also has some taste. It has some texture of softness. But I cannot understand those aspects of that flower by my eyes. The eyes can only give me particular knowledge, partial knowledge. So, chakshuhu pramanam rupasya. So, to understand a form, Chakshureva Pramanam. Na Nasika, not the nose, not any other sense organ. So, means of knowledge decides the nature of knowledge. Please understand this very carefully. So, we need to understand that any knowledge that we gain about anything depends on the ability and conditions of the means of knowledge. Therefore, the word pramana is used. Pramikaranam pramanam. Definition. In Sanskrit, ma miyate. Ma means to measure. Ma miyate. That's why the word upama also has come. Upa samipe stitva miyate. So when you have a thing and you want to explain it, the similarity with another thing, that's called upama. Upama means to compare, you need to have something else which is closer to it in nature, in characteristics. So, ma to measure. And so, measure means what? Bring the parameters required for the sake of that knowledge. So, when you come back to the example of flower, the flower's color, form, what kind of a form it has, this can be measured by the eyes. Eyes can function only in that parameter. And with that, I come to know about the color and the form of the flower. Similarly, when I want to know the smell of the flower, the nose is capable of knowing the smell and not any other aspect of the flower. So we have five senses through which we come to determine the world, whatever is perceived. Whether it's is called Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. Shabda, the sound. Sparsha, the touch. Rupa, the form. Rasa, the taste. Gandham, the smell. So through the means of ears, sense of touch, eyes, nose, and tongue and nose, sorry. So these five jnanendriyas are the pramanakartru indriyani. They are the creator, they are the means to know anything in the world. So, and anything beyond these five, if it is found in an object, cannot be known. Because the senses are incapable of entering into that field. So, what we know as the world is decided by these five senses. And whatever is there in this world, which is not, which the sense organs cannot enter into, as far as we know, we are concerned, it doesn't exist. Why? Because there is no means to know it. If somebody does not have eyes, then to that extent, that person's knowledge is limited. Is it not? He may know the smell of it, the taste of it, the touch of it, the sound of it, but he does not know what it is looking like. He doesn't know the color, he doesn't know the shape. So in the absence of one of the sense organs, to that extent, that particular aspect of that object is hidden for him. If that is the case, how can we say whatever we say is complete? Whatever we understand about the world is complete. How can we say that? We have come to conclude that whatever is perceived by the senses alone are there, Beyond that, there doesn't exist anything. Can we conclude that way? We conclude so. That's what science concludes. You know, the sense of smell, for that matter. We have also sense of smell. But a dog has got greater sense of smell. He can smell much better than us. So, for that dog, the field of smell is much more than what we know. It can smell far away also. One person was so annoyed by his dog because my wife has been, you know, very, he's my pet, but that fellow constantly shouts. One day when his wife was gone away to other town, so he decided, I'm going to get rid of this fellow. So he went 2-3 streets away and then left it there and came. By the time he came home, he was already there. This fellow won't leave me, you know. This fellow comes back. So next day he decided he will go and put near the sea. Because there the smell get distracted, you know. So he left it near the beach and came back home. Within an hour it came back home. He said, I have got only one day. Before she comes, I have to do something about it. So that evening, he decided, I will take him to a forest, deep into the forest. Leave him there. Let him die. Let these animals have them, have it. So he put it in the, deep into the forest and left him there. Then the problem was, he did not know the way back home. So he followed the dog to get back home. Now tell me, is it not, even among, in this very world itself, there are living beings who have a greater sense of a particular pramana than us? So the pramana vichara is a very important thing. Why Vedanta is a pramana? And that if you understand, then we know that how it is essential for us. As much as eyes are essential for knowing the form, nose is essential to know the smell. Vedanta is the pramana for us to know something which we cannot know otherwise at all. So why Vedanta is a pramana? And why it is necessary? We'll see that in the next session. And that will make us clear why Vedanta is so beautiful. All right. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhad Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namah, Harihi Om.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Hari Om. Thank you. Nice to see you all.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Hari
Om,
Swamiji.
See you, Swamiji. Hari Om.
Hari Om, Swamiji.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om, Swamiji. Padmini, how are you?
Thank you.
Fine, Swamiji. Hari Om.
Hari Om, Swamiji.
Shubhi.
Hari Om. Hari Om, Swamiji.
Right.
Tamila here, Swamiji.
Rani.
Hari Om, Swamiji.
Hari Om. Of course, Nayana and Joshi, Ashokji, Dolakya.
Hari Om, Swamiji.
Hari Om.